In the last class, we were discussing that the Lord Shri Krishna diagnoses the problem of Arjuna. In fact, that is the problem with all of us, and that is the life is lived on the basis of the fleeting perceptions rather than on the basis of the unchanging truth. The fleeting heat and cold, pleasure and pain are taken to be permanent. They are taken to be real. And thus life is lived on the basis of that. Therefore, leads to frustration. The reason for frustration is that one tries to get pleasure, as all of us do, whatever is pleasurable, our mind gets attracted to that very naturally. As we run to it, it changes from pleasure to pain. Then we try to run away from the pain, and we find that where we go, again the pain is there. The expectations are bellied all the time because it is all uncertain, changing, fleeting. The forms, they come and go. They have a mixture of existence and non-existence. So, he told Arjuna that those who live the life unaffected by the pulse of pleasure and pain, and those who are therefore not affected by these, they attain to immortality. Yam hina vyathayanti te purusham purusharshabha sukhadukha sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate. So means that person who is not affected by the pleasures and pains, bears them. See, it is to be understood correctly. Not to be affected means, doesn't mean that a person becomes like a wall or a stone who doesn't get affected. Very sensitive, the person has the sense organs very well tuned, and so there is the tremendous sensitivity. But that sensitivity doesn't affect that person's behavior. The sensitivity only gives the measure. It is like the thermometer senses how much temperature it is and tells that the temperature now is, say, 30 degrees. Now, and that doesn't mean that the thermometer immediately asks for a jacket or a coat. It just senses that, that's all. So similarly, this person just senses the attacks of pleasure, pain, but knows that they are fleeting, they come and go, and therefore doesn't base life on that. The life, when based on what is permanent, that life then is sure to overcome frustration. The life that is based on fleeting things is always fraught with frustration. Because what you seek, you don't get. The frustration comes in life because of repeated failures. We attempt to get something, and then once we made an attempt, didn't get it. We don't get disheartened by that. We try again. But again it fails. That makes us a little depressed. We make attempt thrice, four times, five times. then it becomes a habit not to become successful at all in that. Thus, the frustration sets in that, well, I am doomed to be like that. Because the focus of life was this fleeting something. If you try to catch the shadow, it is naturally the result will be frustration. You cannot catch the shadow. And therefore, Sri Krishna is pointing out, the Lord is pointing out to Arjuna that one has to learn to separate these two. What is the fleeting sensations and what is the imperishable, permanent truth in life. When we discriminate these and base the life on what is permanent, then we will be able to really overcome the frustration and other problems in life. It will be a life tuned to progress. It is then life tuned to its goal. It is a very different type of life then. Externally, it may not change much. Not that those who are non-vegetarians will immediately become vegetarians. It doesn't become, nor it is necessary to become like that. Many think that to become religious means first thing is to become vegetarians. I do not advocate that at all. It is not neither required for everybody, nor it is going to do much good in spiritual life. It is more dependent on how we base our style of living, our attitude of life should be on something that is permanent. Think of the existence in itself rather than the fleeting forms. So, therefore, the verse that we were discussing, which is in Vedanta philosophy a very important verse, Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate satah, ubhayorapi drishtontah, stvanayo tatvadarshibhihi. One who see the truth, they have understood that the truth is always truth. The existence never becomes non-existent. And that which is non-existent really never exists even when you are seeing it. Even when we are seeing it, we have to remember that it really is not. The existence is apparent there, apparent or superficially present there. But it is not permanently associated with that form. The forms come and go. So, whenever we see the Shankaracharya, the great teacher of Vedanta comments on this, that in connection with all our objects, we get these two awarenesses combined together. One is the awareness of the form, and the another awareness is that of existence. Like we may say that lorry exists. Lorry exists. Now lorry, these are two things involved in it, lorry and existence. Lorry exists in this, there is one lorry and existence associated with that. Now that lorry was not there some years back and will not be there after some years. The form continuously changing. When she was 1 year old, didn't look like this. So the form continuously changes there. But the existence always is. that existence doesn't go. The form goes away. So, of the two understandings or two types of awareness, awareness associated with the form, that changes and goes away. It gets into non-existence. We say that lorry is, and then suppose she goes from here to some place, like she wasn't here some time back, an hour ago she wasn't here. So, an hour ago her existence here was not, you couldn't have seen. And after a little while, again she cannot be seen here. So, her existence here is came to perception and went away. So, that changes, that part is subject to change. If somebody asks me, is Lori here? I'll say, yes, she is here. Had somebody asked me this question an hour ago, I would have answered, no, she is not here. Now, these two things, that is and Lori. So, that is how each form has isness associated with it. The form comes and goes, the isness sustains there. So, you have somebody you saw that went on undergoing change, but the isness doesn't go away. The isness has isness associated with that form goes away, but isness in itself does not go. It is like that the one who tries to see the truth looks at this penetratively, that what is. In India you see this scene often, I don't know, I have not come across that kind of scene here. That suppose you are walking on the street and you walk in front of the house come factory of a potter. Now you see that the potter wants to make many pots, so has a big heap of earth there. So you saw the big heap of earth when you were going. In the evening you returned, and then you didn't see the heap, because in the meantime the potter has made all those pots. Now if you ask the potter, what happened to the heap that I saw in the morning? I was going and I saw a huge heap of earth there, the clay was there. What happened to that heap? The potter points out to all these pots, it is here. That shape, form of heap has gone away and the form of pots has appeared there. Now, suppose in the evening there came a big rain and all those pots that he had made and kept out for drying all got completely wet and broken. So what does, when you go again next morning, maybe by that time the potter has again collected all of that and made it into a heap of earth. And you ask, what happened to the pots that I was seeing yesterday? Where are all those pots? He will point out to the heap. Now, the clay stage, the existence of clay is there, and the heap changes, the form changes. Form of heap gave way to the form of pots, and form of pots gave way to the form of heap. So, similarly, the forms here, they keep on changing. When a form appears, you associate a name with it, and that name gives it a sense of permanence, that it is. Like we say, lorry is. What is there? You cannot really say that what is. If you say body, all the particles are continuously changing. It is really not there at all. What is there? What do you call lorry? If we analyze, we will see that there is nothing like that. Don't get depressed. There is nothing like that means God alone is. And God alone appears in all these different forms, just as the heap of clay was appearing in so many pots. Those pots, they emerge, the shapes emerge, the shape goes on, you know, altering, getting altered, and then it breaks again. When it breaks, what is what it is left with? The clay remains. So, it is a very important statement is made in Upanishads that the pots, they keep on changing, their names also accordingly change, that the potter was making a pot. He had got an order for, say, 20 pots of, one pint size. Suddenly, after that, he gets a call after he has made them. That, no, sorry, I actually want pots of 1 gallon size. Said, no problem. He again brings those pots into clay and carves out the pot of gallon size. So, like that, now the names change. We make small those lamps, oil lamps of the same thing, and huge. The oil lamps that are made, they probably are so just a tiny bit, an inch in, you see, 1 cubic inch maybe all put together in size. And then big pots also are made of the same clay. It is maybe containing 50 gallons, a huge pot. So it is, the names they change. After all, that also is clay, and that big huge pot also is clay. The lamp also is, what is it? It is clay. It is by the shape and the name they appear different. But what it really is, it is just clay. The threads, they are woven, that into a cloth. So you call them the particular, that this is a cloth. Now the cloth is given a shape, shirt, pant, cap, bed sheet, all these different names. What it is? It is just the thread, all that yarn. That yarn is there. Now that yarn is given different shapes, and according to different shapes, different names. It is all the time the yarn alone. That yarn doesn't get changed. I am giving just a relative example that similarly, all these names and forms, they keep on continuously changing. The form changes, and yet, because a name gets associated with it, it gets a sense of permanence associated with it. Like you say, Yogatmananda, I am stopping, taking example of lorry because she may get angry. So, let us say, yes, Yogatmananda. What happens? The name just remains. It is the name. The substance, matter is continuously changing all the time. That, suppose that when a tooth of mine is taken out what happens then as if I am gone. It is the matter keeps on changing continuously, comes in, goes out. So what is Yogatmananda? Nothing but just a name. And because of that we feel a kind of existence there. It really does not exist at all. God alone is. Other, those pseudo-existences appear because of form. I like another example that is very commonly understood by everyone. I like the baseball team. That Red Sox, all in Boston area, big fans of Red Sox. Now, what is Red Sox? You cannot say exactly what it is. The owner changes, sells the company to somebody, owner changes. The players keep on changing, and whosoever they gives them more money, they go to that club. And some player that was with the Red Sox then went to Yankees because they gave him more money. So the fans started denouncing him. Sold his soul to Yankees and all that. Big letters to the editors that he sold his soul to Yankees. Now the fans, they have a big attraction for that. Just the name Red Sox. What is that Red Sox? It is, objectively it is nothing, just a name. That name creates an illusion, as if there is something like that. It is similarly with every object. This existence is, that isness belongs to the Brahman or God, the Absolute. Like in that relative example, clay is, and the pots, they come and go. So the idea is learn to base the life on that which is, rather than that which appears, comes and goes. See, the life will completely then take a turn towards truth. We will then start looking for something that is. One can fulfill the aspiration or the desire for something that is. That which is not, you can keep on searching it, one will never get it. And so, therefore, the focus, Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, that those who are wise people, tattva darshibhi, they look at the tattva, means the God. Shankara again in his commentary says, tat is a pronoun, that. Now thatness is everywhere. You can speak of that about anything. So that means God who is pervading everywhere. So those who see that unchanging principle, they therefore have tuned their life to this principle. The unchanging principle. And then you will see that when our life turns to that, the whole priorities then change. Now the priority may be to go and see the Red Sox game. Of course now the season is over, but then it is, so it may be that I will go and see the game. Now, after the focus changes, the priority will be changed accordingly. It is the attraction towards the sense enjoyment. It goes away because you see that it is fleeting, it really does not exist. What goes away, not that it actually was and went away. Although non-existent, it created a feel of existence. Like the snake that you perceived where there was rope. Because there wasn't sufficient light, from a distance, you thought that it is a snake. And when you came close, you saw it is a rope. Did the snake was and vanished? The snake wasn't there at all. What was rope appeared like a snake. So God alone is, appears like this world. They see that these forms come and go. They rise, they stay, again go away. So let us not get attached to these forms. A great truth in life that we have to learn. Let us not get attached to these fleeting forms. These fleeting forms like I am this body, fleeting form is called I. That is not right. It is then I form connections with similar fleeting forms. This is my house. This is my husband or this is my wife. Go on like that, multiplying more and more connections with these fleeting objects. Thus the life is all based on untruth. That this is Sri Ramakrishna therefore used to say, what is ignorance? I and mine is ignorance. Lord, thou and thou alone is knowledge. Ignorance and knowledge is that. That I and mine, that this is my house, and this is my husband, this is my wife, this is my daughter, this is my so and so. Then we get all worked up and involved into that and lose the sight of unchanging reality. If we keep our focus on the unchanging reality, then not only that we will be progressing towards the truth. That which is true can be discovered, you know, because it is. Our desire to realize God alone can be fulfilled. Anything else that we want to achieve in life will not be fulfilled basically because that is not. The desire for that which is not, how can you ever fulfill it? So, therefore, let us turn our focus to that which is. This verse is very important from that point of view. That there is a very good analysis in Vedanta about this idea of tattva, the principle that which is. That is based on the truth. And then there is other thing, matam, tattvam and matam. Matam means it is just an opinion. The opinions a person can have, all different opinions. And they keep on changing. That yes, I like one particular party in politics. But then if that party doesn't do what I want it to do, my opinion changes about it. It is like the opinions keep on changing. It is, but the truth does not change. So, therefore, the truth has that objectivity. Opinions are subjective. That whether did you like this movie or not, one person will say yes, another person will say, okay. Third person will outright say, no, I didn't like it at all. Because it is, after all, matter of opinion. The objectivity is a different thing. So, here, those who are looking at the truth, they therefore see that how they decide what is true, the truth has this unchangingness about it. It does not change. We used to decide, you know, that how to know whether an image is a real image or an apparent image. In the laboratory, we had to make an experiment, you know, that whether it is whether you have found the exact point of image or not. So you see whether those two pins, they go head to head or not, that point to point. There are two pins fixed. And then you have to see whether those images, they actually match their head exactly or not. And then you have to see from your, turn your head in one direction, turn your head in other direction. And still if you see that there is no separation between them, then only you conclude that they are at the same one point. Because from one position, any two objects which are in one line will look as if they are touching each other. They are in contact. Like sometimes we see a star or a planet moving and comes very close to moon, and we feel as we are looking at the sky that it is going to have a, there will be a big crash between the two. No, because there is lot of distance between them. It is only apparently, it is a visual deception that we are having. So if you actually go there, you will see that there is a huge, huge space between them. No chance of collision at all. It is similarly, when you move your head like this and see, no, those two, they don't match now. So you again then change the position to find out the exactness. So when you do this experiment, continue with it, you will find one position where the image and that pin, wherever you turn your head, it's still, there is no loss of contact between them. Then you know that even if I keep on shifting my position, it always is, it does not change. So then you conclude that it is, you have hit at the right point. So similarly, how you recognize or understand the truth in this world, see whether it changes or not. Shift your position and see whether it changes or not. It is, and if it changes, then know that it was not real. And that which does not shift like that, that which does not change, that alone is real. So this is what Sri Krishna tells Arjuna, that it is the changing and unchanging. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell that the devotees would ask that, is it possible to realize God by while remaining a householder? He used to say, why not? But you have to do this discrimination between what is and what is not, what is permanent and what is impermanent. Discriminate between what is permanent and what is impermanent and then base your life on what is permanent. So this is the way. It is for all of us, this is the way to realize, experience God in our lives. That the one where the existence appears to be but goes away, that is, that form is not there. Its existence is not. And that where the existence never goes away, the existence all that is, the isness never goes away. So, look at that isness. Now, where do you look for that isness? That is the next verse of Bhagavad Gita. That can you find it at a place? That look for, I will go to Alaska, maybe it is there. Or if I don't find it, let me go to moon if I find it there. Where is this unchanging existence? Show me. That story is there, Prahlada the devotee of God, Prahlada. He was very devoted to God and always used to chant the name of God, that Narayana, the name that his chosen ideal was the form of Narayana. So he would repeat the name of Narayana, but his father was an atheist, a demon, and was very egotistic. He always wanted everybody. He was a big king, and very powerful. So he wanted that all subjects should only respect him. No God, I am God myself. All subjects should worship me alone. Who is that Narayana? And his own son, the way of teaching lesson to this fellow is like that his own son was a devotee of God. So now what can you do to your own son? So he first tried to teach him, appointed teachers, that he has this bad tendency in him, bad habit. You educate him properly so that his bad habit of taking the name of that Narayana will go away. That didn't happen. In fact, the teacher started taking the name of Narayana. So that didn't work. Then he tried to then kill him. That also didn't work. The story goes on. He tried to burn him in fire and many other ways tried to kill him. Didn't work. Then in his palace, he asked Prahlada, his son, "And where is your Narayana after all? Tell me, show me where he is. Show me where he is. You are taking the name of that. I want proof where he is." Now how can you show where he is? He is everywhere, is it not? He, the God, that isness pervades everything. If our mind is tuned only to the wave, and if we say, where is the ocean? How can you show where the ocean is? If you point out that, you will see some wave there, and you will think that that wave is ocean. It is not that wave, that particular wave is ocean, but that which pervades all the changing waves, and yet is beyond all of them. That you can say that is all-pervading. That all-pervading feature is now in the next verse told. God is everywhere. How can you show? So Prahlada said, how can you show you? He is everywhere. God is everywhere. Then Hiranyakashipu, his father, the demon, where is he? He's not there. Do you mean he is everywhere? Is he in this pillar? Well, if he is everywhere, he is in the pillar as well. If you want to see him in the pillar, it is, you can find him in the pillar also. And then the story goes that he, in anger, that demon, Hiranyakashipu, kicked that pillar with great ferocity, as if to kick God. Now it doesn't have the effect on God. The effect is that you get hurt by that, and the pillar broke, and the form of God came up from there, who killed this demon. So that is the story. It goes like that, but the main idea is God is all-pervading. That existence pervades all the forms. Like the screen pervades every picture in the movie. Is there any picture there that the screen is not in it? Every picture that you are seeing in the movie, all the great big action, all those scenes which sometimes cause a lot of laughter and sometimes lot of tears, all that is really screen. Screen is pervading the hero as well as villain. It is not that the screens change for them. The screen remains the same for both. The hero, same screen, villains, same screen, the same screen for Jesus and same screen for those who killed him. The screen doesn't change, the screen remains the same in the movie. So, similarly, this truth is all pervading. Avinashitu tadviddhi yena sarvamidam tatam vinashamavyayasyasya nakaschet kartumarhati. That avinashi means imperishable. The imperishable is that, he tells Arjuna, Arjuna, know that to be imperishable, by which everything is pervaded. Everything is pervaded by that imperishable principle. And no one can destroy, because it is existence itself. That existence can never become non-existent, because existence is its nature. Other existence appears and disappears. It is and it is not. The isness associated with a thing goes away, but isness doesn't vanish. Associated with, like the on the screen, you may be seeing one person. That person goes away from the screen, but the screen remains there. In the that movie, the pictures will keep on changing. One picture will come, go away, another picture will come, that also will go away. The whole one movie will be finished, another movie will be shown on the same screen. So, all these changes are taking place in the forms, in the pictures. The screen remains just the same. So, let us try to feel that principle. That is meditation. Meditation is learning to feel that imperishable, constant, unchanging principle that pervades all the forms. Let us think of that principle. This Vishwanath is, Chris is, Charles is, John is, Jitendra is. Now, what has changed? The forms changed. The isness is there. Isness is a common principle. The forms keep on changing. That isness does not go away. It is the all-pervading, everlasting, indestructible principle. So, instead of thinking of us as the bodies, let us think of us as the all-pervading, divine, one principle. Why should one limit oneself only in this small body? It is being in a prison. Being in a prison doesn't bring us happiness. We crave for freedom. Therefore, we all crave for freedom. Do we not? We want, all of us want freedom. Freedom struggle. Now, freedom from what? This ultimate freedom is to be free from this cage of the body. Why should we remain in this cage of the body? We are all pervading. This I is all pervading, is it not? I is all pervading. That is another beautiful way that Vedanta illustrates this principle. That if you ask somebody, who are you? Then everybody will begin the answer. He will say, I am Chris. Then she will say, I am Emily. And he will say, I am Tom. And she will say, I am Elizabeth. And so what is the common thing? Everybody, the Upanishad says, unconsciously, everybody is uttering their real name first. I am I. That is our real name. You know? Other names, they come and go. They are not our real name. Like somewhere, Lori is called one name, Lori. Some others call her by different name. They are not real names. Somebody gave the name, but she will say, I am, I am. And everybody says that, I am. So, that is our real name. And that is the one real name for everyone. Because that is the truth. Just as the Jack seen in the movie. Jack is screen. Jill also is screen. And Tom is also screen. Dick also is screen. Harry also is the screen. So, I am. I am. That is the truth. That is one. We are really one. And therefore, we always become happy when we experience this oneness. When this experience of oneness is there, and why we feel happy? That it is because the truth is that it is all really one. Eating a candy. Candy and you, when they become one, then you feel that happiness of oneness. It is other two is not happiness, one becomes happiness. But in the forms you can never bring oneness. It is to understand that it is all one. See how much joy will there be. Our joy is a case, it is a state between two sorrows. How do we experience joy in this world? That now I am happy. People say, now I am happy. What is the idea of now? Means earlier I was not happy. Afterwards again I will not be happy. Between the two sorrows, somehow you feel a state of happiness. Because there you got a glimpse of that oneness. So you feel, now I am happy. Sometimes therefore, in the Sanskrit language, there is a nice word for health. When you have good health, then you feel happy. Is it not? When you have a headache, you don't feel happy, even if you are having the most beautiful cap on your head, but it is aching, then you won't feel happy about that. When you feel happy, when you feel healthy, there is a word, swastha, means you now are established in yourself. So, when you are established in your true nature, that oneness is felt and you are then really happy. When there is oneness, it is, you see, everything is one. Imagine, think of how great will that joy be. It will not be a state between two sorrows. There will be nothing to compare with it. It is the happiness. It is the joy. There is that very beautiful way in which it is explained in one of the Upanishads. In Taittiriya Upanishad, same comes in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also. That people decided, we are scientific people, so this Jitendra decided, let me actually measure, you know. They say there is a lot of happiness with those knowers of Brahman. They become very happy. But just very happy and all are vague words. Let us actually weigh how much their happiness is in comparison with my happiness. Then I will take decision about it, whether to do so much spiritual practice for that and get it or not. whether it is worth or not. Let me get exact measure of how much happiness they have. If it is too much, you know, to get it, then better I am what I am fine. So, start measuring. So, you need a unit to measure. So, a unit is thought about. That unit, very beautiful unit. How is that unit? That imagine a person who is very strong bodied. All the senses are very fine, youthful, just bubbling with the youthful energy. And that person has been given this whole earth, full of all the amenities and comforts, and without any competition, he has been given assurance that nobody will snatch anything from you. So doesn't need to be worried that somebody will attack me. No. Suppose that person, imagine that person. That person's joy is understood to be one unit, you know. Let us take, because we have to measure big joy, so the unit also has to be big. You cannot measure the distance between the two stars by your inches. You need the measure of light years, and the distance that the light travels in 1 year. That will be the measuring unit for measuring distances between two stars. If you start using your small foot rule, it will be terrible. So the unit has to be big unit, that the joy of this man. But this joy also falls insignificantly short, because after they measured 100 such units, then they came to a being that this joy, who is called Karmadeva. So that became the... there are various stages, you know, as the senses go on becoming finer, your joys increase. And sorrows also increase correspondingly. That is the fun about the worldly joys and sorrows. That the more joy you get, the more sorrow also you get. Because it is only the making the nerves fine. That you make your nerves finer, more sensitive, so that you get the joy of, say, very fine, beautiful tunes. You get the joy of that. And you get the sorrow of missing them also, equally harsh. When a person who doesn't have a musical ear doesn't get the joy of the music, and also doesn't feel the agony if somebody is just screaming in a non-musical way, you don't feel that it is bad music, or it doesn't feel the ears get hurt. It is one of our Swamis, we didn't have any sense of this music. We tried to teach him that, look, hear this note with a piano, this note, this the next note becomes different. Does it not? He said, what is the difference? All sound just all sound the same. So it is difficult to teach music to such a person. So he is happy, you know, even when a wrong note is struck, he doesn't know. So escapes the misery of that. Escapes the misery of that. If somebody who is well-versed with music, has understanding of it, has fine understanding of the ear is very well-tuned, a little note here and there, immediately there is a jarring sensation. So the suffering also is high. So like that, in that example, the joy is shown, that how much 100 times of this, then that 100 times is made another unit. So 100 times of that again, another unit. Like that it goes on and on and on till it comes to a very high stage, maybe a million times or 10 million times or a billion times of the unit that we started with. A billion times the unit that we started with, that much joy. Could it still measure the joy of the illumined? The Upanishad smiles there. No, no, you cannot measure the joy of the illumined by such units, because your unit is only related to the appearance of joy, not to the real joy at all. It is, can you measure, see that how much how much water of mirage will be equivalent to a glass of real water? It is just appearance, you know, it doesn't get equated with it. So, the joy of the illumined is real joy. The joy that we get here is really only a reflection, only a temporary reflection of that joy. So therefore it is told here that let us shift the focus of our life. Let it be the life based on truth. We all seek joy, but if we seek the real source of joy, then only we are likely to get it, is it not? So let us tune our life to that. That is the message. We shall discuss this verse further in the next class, that no one can destroy that which really is. Any question? Yes, George?
I'm still fighting with this idea of I am. I mean, everyone in the room here has that feeling I am.
Yeah.
No matter what, you cut that gut feeling, you are.
Yes.
And yet, there seems to be a problem in Vedanta. I mean, they don't worship I am. In other words, you cut that symbol of Om up there, you don't say I am. But you have that I am, and yet it's not real. In other words, we identify the I am with a house, a car.
That is the thing, you know. You are right there. That this idea, I am, that is the central feature. Therefore, Vedanta focuses on the analysis of who am I. That is the goal of all worships. All other symbols are used for the understanding of it as stepping stones. Why?
In other words, if you ask somebody, you are, in other words, they all admit they exist, that's the basic thing, I am.
Yes.
But when you start to define it, it ends up, I am George Parker, or I am Joe Smith, or whatever I happen to be, and I got this, and I got that, and everything else. So this I am is really a
That is therefore to be analyzed, you know, where this I is. Then when one sees that the same I in every being, then you know you have found out the answer.
Yeah, but we're not taught that.
Huh?
We're not taught that.
We are taught that.
Mm-hmm. As a little kid, we're not.
Huh? No, that is, therefore, here we are learning this science, you know.
Yeah, we're learning it here.
Yes.
In 98% of the world.
Well, that is, that is how you become special, is it not? That is how George becomes special. He is one amongst thousands. Well, let them be. You cannot, it is the wish of the God, you know, that whenever they will feel the need, they will turn to it. 98% or 99% doesn't make a difference. Let us, even if you see the truth, that's good enough.
In other words, when you say to yourself, I am, you should think of God, that you are
not part, you are that.
You're the Atman.
Yes. But these are all stepping stones to it. that worshipping, concentrating, you know, that these are all for the training of the system. That learning to concentrate our mind on something so that its fleeting character will get reduced, its tendencies to run towards other objects, so-called enjoyment, that will get reduced. Then the capacity to feel the real I will gradually awaken, and then one will be able to. So these are all the stepping stones for that.
It doesn't seem to work out that way, like when Mars goes and blows himself up.
It does work.
Well, it doesn't work with him.
No, it does work with... It takes time, you know, that it may take lifetimes. One cannot be impatient, you know, that one has to keep on doing it 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 50 lifetimes.
The thing is, you don't have to do it. I mean, in other words, it's a natural feeling that I am.
It is, natural feeling is this, that I am Yogatmananda and staying here in the Vedanta Society and is... 55-year-old or something like that. So that is the natural feeling, which is incorrect. So we have to learn to separate that, you know, that natural feeling from the fleeting phenomena.
I mean, that's what Ramana Maharshi did, huh?
Yes, exactly. That is what Ramana Maharshi did and taught. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That is a very good way of looking at it. Who has this problem? And then you will see it goes away. Who has this problem? Ask, who has this problem? And then it goes away. Not that he arrived at there without any teacher. He had a teacher of a different category. We require teachers according to our level, you know. All cannot be taught in the same way. Ramana Maharshi was already a very high level. If the child goes to kindergarten, cannot be taught by somebody who is giving lessons at the PhD level. They require different skills. You know, that PhD teacher will get vexed in an hour. No, I can't manage this crying baby. So, for the crying babies, you need different type of teachers. So, we are like that, you know. We crave for so many things in life. So, we need all the different teachers. According to our... a temperament, we get the teacher and the teaching. Yes, Yamuna Bhai, you wanted to make a comment?
No, I wanted to kind of follow up with what George is saying, in the sense that when you bring up the snake and the wolf example, it gives our two requirements for that to happen. And that one is that there won't be that, there has to be something there, and there's not enough light. So, because I'm seeing all these different forms, so why can't I see? Why isn't there that much light for me? And what is the something that?
So you have answered it really, that you are seeing God, but because there is not enough light of knowledge, you are seeing it as this body or this chair or this building, and this something you like, something you dislike. And that is seen because there is not enough light of knowledge. That is what we are trying to get, you know. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvine Srita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko devo devaki putra eva. Eko mantrah tasya namani yani. Karma pyekam tasya devasya seva. Sri Krishna arpanamastu.